Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they were endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's a phrase that had never before appeared in the founding document of any nation in the history of what we call civilization. Welcome to the program. It's Election Day. Tom Hartman here with you. That to secure these rights, Thomas Jefferson wrote in 1776, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. From the consent of the governed. Today is the day we exercise that consent. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, those ends being life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, let's see, destructive of life, how many people has George W. Bush killed since he came into office? I mean, as governor of Texas, he only put to death 134 people, as I recall. But here, as president, almost 3,000 American soldiers, 30,000 maimed, 600,000 Iraqi civilians, innocent civilians, life, liberty. Starting at the beginning of next year, if Bush has his way, you'll have to get permission from the Department of Homeland Security to leave the United States. To leave the USA. This is unprecedented. Liberty. Is your phone tapped? Can the police break into your home without a warrant? Yes. And the pursuit of happiness. Can you earn a minimum wage and actually make a living? That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, which is what we can do today, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its power in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. And this is really what it gets right down to. George W. Bush, the Bush administration, the Republicans in Congress, in the House, in the Senate, Republicans at local levels all across the United States, and a few conservative Democrats as well, not just cheerleading for the war, not just making the world safer for Osama bin Laden and more dangerous for America, not just eviscerating democracy itself, but going after the middle class as well. Going after the right to unionize, going after the right to have a decent wage. I mean, all of the reforms of the New Deal, of Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal from the 1930s, all of those reforms are in the crosshairs. These guys want to take down environmental laws. They want to take down minimum wage laws. They want to take down unemployment insurance. They want to take down any form of social safety net. Medicare, Medicaid, the Social Security, the entire New Deal. As Limbaugh says,
Roosevelt is dead. His policies may live on, but we're in the process of doing something about that as well.
It is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. Prudence, indeed, will dictate the government's long-established should not be changed for light and transient causes. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing inevitably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. Well, I'm telling you, we're not going to have a bloody revolution in the United States. It would be the wrong thing. It wouldn't even be practical, frankly. But we can have a revolution at the ballot box. Today's the day. Voter suppression going on all across the United States. We'll be getting into that in a lot of detail as the program continues. Our quote for the day from Dwight Eisenhower, the future of this republic is in the hands of the American voter. Mark Crispin Miller is going to be with us. Brad Friedman is going to be with us. Stephen Rosenfeld, Jeffrey Feldman, and more. First, a quick look at what brought us here. A dozen of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were politicians, doctors, or ministers. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers. Ben Franklin is hard to define. I always called him the ADD one. 36 different careers in his life. He was in his 80s. Jefferson was 33, about the average age. Some of them were in their 20s. The men who signed the Declaration of Independence were the most idealistic and determined among the colonists. While the conservatives of their day said America should remain a colony of England forever, these liberal radicals believed in both individual liberty and societal obligations. They were not libertarian nutcases. A nation must care for the lives of its own, guarantee liberty, and ensure its citizens' happiness. A word in the Declaration of Independence and in the Constitution, a radical concept that had never before appeared in any nation's founding documents. The signers wrote in the Declaration, "We mutually pledged to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor," and it was a simple statement of fact. The day they signed that document, each legally became a traitor and was sentenced to death for treason by the legal government that controlled their lands and their homes. As Ben Franklin pointed out, they stood at a point of no return, and indeed we must all hang together, he said. Otherwise, we shall most assuredly hang separately. John Hancock signed his name. He said he was signing his name large enough that the king can read it without glasses, and now double the reward. The reward? The king had put a 500-pound reward on John Hancock's head for sedition. What happened to John Hancock from signing the Declaration of Independence? Just 6 months later, his newborn daughter died to complications of childbirth arising from his wife's fleeing the oncoming British army. Although the richest of the founders, wealthy by the standards of the day, he would hardly qualify as rich by today's standards. He founded no dynasty, no foundations to today dispenses money. John Hancock's legacy, our nation. Robert Morris, who signed it from Philadelphia, lost his entire shipping fleet, wiping out his modest fortune. Thomas Nelson of Virginia ordered his own home destroyed because it had been taken by General Cornwallis as headquarters. He died in poverty at the age of 50 as a result of signing the Declaration of Independence. William Ellery of Rhode Island lost everything as a result of signing the Declaration of Independence, as did Virginia's Carter Braxton, Benjamin Harrison, Pennsylvania's George Clymer, New York's Philip Livingston, Georgia's Lyman Hall, and New Jersey's Francis Hopkinson. The British destroyed New York's Francis Lewis's property and threw his wife into such a hellhole of a jail that she died 2 years later. Three of South Carolina's four signers, Edward Rutledge, Thomas Hayward Jr., and Arthur Middleton, were captured by the British and held in a filthy, unheated prison and brutally tortured for over a year before George Washington freed them in a prisoner exchange. George Washington, who refused to allow the American soldiers to torture the British, he said, "We will not sink to their level." New Jersey farmer John Hart's wife died shortly after he signed the Declaration of Independence, and his 13 children were scattered among sympathetic families to hide them from the conservative loyalists. He never saw them again, dying alone and racked with grief 3 years later. Altogether, 17 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were entirely wiped out by the war they declared and died in poverty. New Jersey State Supreme Court Justice Richard Stockton took his wife and children into hiding after he signed the Declaration, but conservatives loyal to the crown turned him in. He was so badly beaten and starved that he died in prison. His home was looted, and his wife and children lived the rest of their lives as paupers. Altogether, 9 of the men in that room died. 4 lost all their children as a direct result of putting their names to the Declaration of Independence. Every single one had to flee his home. And after the war, 12 returned to find only rubble. After the war was over and the conservatives had fled to Canada and England, the survivors of the new American nation met to put into final form the legal structure of the nation that they had just birthed. It was not to be a nation of cynical, selfish libertarians who believed the highest value was individual freedom and independence from society, or that the greatest motivator was greed. It was not to be a kingdom ruled by a warlord elite. It was not to be a theocracy where religious leaders made the rules, as had been the case in several states, particularly Massachusetts. And it was not to be a feudal nation ruled by the rich. This new nation, the United States of America, founded as the result of the sacrifice of these men and women, these families, that today we can take back to its ideals. As Benjamin Franklin told Philadelphia's Mrs. Powell as he was walking out of the Constitutional Convention after they pulled together the Constitution in 1787, she says, "What sort of nation has been conceived?" Ben Franklin, "It's a republic, madam, if you can keep it. If you can keep it." Today's the day. Get out there and vote. Get out there and participate. This is so important. 16 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. We'll be talking about the Republican efforts at voter suppression. Why are they doing voter suppression? Because their agenda is contrary to the will of the majority of the people in the United States. The Democratic Party's efforts to get the vote out. Why are they trying to get people out to vote? Well, because their platform is consistent with what most people want. We'll be right back. My friends, hang on tight to your dreams. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, the place where despair is not an option. Get active. Get active. It is time now to take back the United States. And Mark Crispin Miller with us, one of the great American patriots working tirelessly to do same. Hey, Mark, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
My friend, Tom, how are you today?
So glad to have you with us. We're going to have, by the way, Howard Dean with us in the next segment. Interesting. And then at the third hour, we're going to have Susan Turnbull, who's the vice chair of the NC on. So a lot of activity out there. Mark, voter suppression is the name of the game for the Republicans. What are you hearing that they're up to right now?
It's all over the place. It's unbelievable. The news is just pouring in. You know, you got machines flipping people's votes all over the country. You've got the system almost breaking down under the weight of phone calls. Complaints phoned in Franklin County, Ohio, of all places. You got people using, having to resort to paper ballots in parts of Florida because the machines are doing such a poor job. And then we also have a report, this is kind of amusing, of some Republican voter fraud in Utah, according to a story from AP. Some guy has, basically concocted four times more Republican voters in his hometown than there are people living there. So, unfortunately, I take no pleasure in saying this, what I and you and others have been predicting all this time has turned out to be absolutely true.
This is Karl Rove's October surprise. His 72-hour strategy is a 72-hour vote suppression strategy.
Exactly. He's not a political genius. He's a criminal genius. And what he's done is take, a Nixonian election theft to a whole new level. That's the only way that this party can maintain its control is through fraud, because the country is fed up with them. The American Conservative, this is Pat Buchanan's magazine, had an editorial in yesterday's edition called "The GOP Must Go." I mean, this is amazing.
Right. Well, in fact, this is a robocall to a guy who's been living in Virginia since 1988, registered to vote since there, voted in the 98 election, the 2000 election, the 2002 election, the 2004 election, and he gets this call today.
This is Message Inspection of the Daily. This is the Virginia Elections Commission. We've determined that you registered in New York to vote. Therefore, you will not be allowed to cast your vote on Tuesday.
If you do show up, you will be charged criminally.
No kidding.
Honest to God. That's an actual recording. This guy, this is the Virginia Elections Commission. We have found that you are also registered to vote in New York. You will therefore not be allowed to cast your vote. If you do show up, you will be charged criminally. And the guy is not registered to vote in New York.
And where is this now?
This is in Virginia.
Virginia, yeah.
And it's not the actual Elections Commission calling. This is a phony call.
Unbelievable.
This guy actually had the wherewithal to, well, actually, I think his answering machine got it. It's just incredible. Here in Oregon, this is a robocall from one of the Republican candidates, a fellow by the name of Fred Bremner.
30% of illegals are rapists and criminals. Please vote for me.
30% of illegals are rapists and criminals, and it's suggesting that his Democratic opponent is in favor of rapists, criminals, and illegal aliens. I mean, that's how weird it's gotten.
It is surreal. I mean, we've stepped through the looking glass, it seems to me. And now it's time, as you've been saying for so long, for the people to put a stop to this.
If they're going to suppress 4.5 million votes, we have to turn out 5.5 million.
Exactly. And then when they manage to steal it anyway, we have to say, you're not stealing it. This is not a representative government. And I'm delighted to hear you're going to be talking to those Democratic heavy hitters, because word has it that they're starting to wake up to this problem.
Finally. Oh, yeah. What I'm going to play with Hardeen, I actually recorded yesterday afternoon. And he was, you know, and I was telling him, hey, we're getting all these calls about robocalls and pretending to be Democrats. And he's like, I've heard about that. And I said, you need to take this really seriously. 2 hours later, he's on CNN. He was being interviewed, and he was saying the things that I was saying.
Yeah.
I'm not taking credit for it. I mean, you know, he had obviously gotten enough people had told him this that, you know, they're figuring out at the DNC that the RNC is up to, as you said, criminal wrongdoing.
Yeah.
In fact, the FBI has opened an investigation.
Unbelievable. In Virginia, where the Secretary of State has come out and said that there is clearly widespread and systematic voter suppression going on throughout the state. So this is really, you know, it's like an act of war. I mean, you know,
it's like a coup d'etat. I mean, if the 2000 and 2004 were coup d'etats, this is they're trying to perpetuate the coup.
Yeah, absolutely. And they'll, you know, there's nothing they won't do to keep this thing going. And I would say people, you know, there's going to be a lot of ferment, a lot of unrest, a lot of complaint, a lot of litigation after this election. And look for them to try to change the subject one of these days with a big terror alert, or God forbid, a terrorist incident, or war on Iran, or all of the above. But they will do anything they can to try to shut this thing down and criminalize all those good Americans who take their voting rights seriously.
Yeah, and we have to stand up to them. Mark, what's the best website for your work?
MarkCrispinMiller.com.
MarkCrispinMiller.com. Can you check back with us as time goes on today and tomorrow, Mark?
Absolutely. I'm always available to you.
Cool. We'll stay in touch.
Okay, bye-bye.
Mark Crispin Miller, MarkCrispinMiller.com, the website. Let me give you my take on this and why the Democrats haven't been talking about this up until now and why it's so important that they do and we do right now, 27 minutes past the hour.
Rubber stamp.
Have you had enough?
The wire tap.
If you pass it, no. Then it's time to throw the rascals out.
You know we've let them take the test too long. They got all the answers wrong. No flat, no shade, no oversight.
Now's the time to put it right.
Have you had enough, my friends? I certainly have. I suspect you have, too. Be sure to vote today. Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you on the radio support group of, by, and for We the People. By the way, heads up, I'll be at the San Francisco Green Festival this Saturday, November 11th at noon on the main stage with a book signing afterward. This is at the San Francisco Concourse Exhibition Center at 8th and Brannan. And welcome to some of our newest affiliates, KOPT in Eugene, Oregon, WRVC in Huntington, West Virginia, carrying us live now, and KQKE, the Quake in San Francisco, carrying the program live, along with KPTK in Seattle and KUDO in Anchorage, and on the list goes KBBR, et cetera, et cetera. Welcome back to the program. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. Toll free all across the United States, TomHartman.com. However you spell it will get you there if you want to drop into our live chat room, read our archives, participate in our message board. And in just a second, we're going to go to the phones and take your calls on some of these issues. I know we've got a few reports about what's going on around the country. First, though, I just want to share with you my take on the Democratic Party's take on all this stuff. The Democratic Party has, to a large extent, for the last 6 years, ignored vote fraud. They, you know, and in fact, to the best of my knowledge, the only person really talking about it who was a politician was up in Washington State, Dino Rossi, who lost to Christine Gregoire, and he was running around yelling, they rigged the vote, rah, rah, rah. It was a Republican, and he dragged it out for months. But the Democrats have been afraid that, well, if we talk about the fact that they're robbing us, then that will cause people to think that they shouldn't show up and vote. That'll cause people to think, well, you know, it's maybe they are robbing us, and therefore my vote doesn't count. And so the Republicans, this is the logic that they've been pursuing. And in fact, I even know of talk show hosts in the United States who have been, who it ha- to whom it has been strongly suggested. I'm not one of them, by the way, but it is a small community. By well-intentioned Democrats, please don't talk about voter theft and vote fraud, because it'll cause Democrats not to show up at the polls. I disagree. I believe that if these Republican dirty tricks are outed, it is going to cause Democrats to become even more outraged and to show up at the polls in even larger numbers. I think the Bob Schrum, Donna Brazile, DLC, official conservative Democratic position of spending 6 years with their head in the sand pretending nothing's going on while the Republicans are stealing election after election after election is wrong. And I congratulate Howard Dean for talking about this right up front and out in the open, even when people in his own party want him not to. We need to hold all, right across the board, we need to hold everybody accountable for this. I mean, this is a disaster. This is a slow motion disaster, but it's a disaster. I mean, Mean Gene, Gene Schmidt in Ohio. This from an Ohio television station.
Thank you so much, Bob. And it is decision day in campaign 2006. The polls are open all across the tri-state now. And already there's some problems in some locations.
Congresswoman Gene Schmidt encountered some trouble. Her ballot would not scan when she tried to vote this morning in Loveland. The Early Childhood Center on Loveland, Miamiville Road has three obstacle scans. And two are not taking ballots. Election officials are trying to fix the problem. In the meantime, the ballots are being locked into the machines. Officials say the votes will be scanned later.
And voters have enough.
So there you go. In Ohio, Mean Gene, the woman who called Jack Murtha a wimp or whatever she called him, a traitor or I forget the exact phrase, something to that effect. Mean Gene couldn't even vote for herself. Pretty strange. Armin in Bradenton, Florida. Hey, Armin, what's happening down there in Florida in the 13th District?
Okay, the 13th district is where they've sent the whole Bush crime family down. Cheney, Laura, the Bush's daughter, everybody's come down here to try to support, the candidate that's opposing Christine Jennings that has a 10-point lead going into this.
So did you get out and vote this morning?
Pardon me?
Did you get out and vote today?
We're going to vote this afternoon.
Okay.
We are going to vote this afternoon.
Are you hearing of voting problems, Armin?
Well, here's the problems, and it's only been reported by Democrats in Sarasota County. That's that 13th district where Vernon Buchanan is going against Christine Jennings, and she's got a 10-point lead going in. So I think they're going to try to steal it, because when the Democrats go in, and this has been reported by Democrats, and they make their vote on these electric machines, there's a button you hit when you're done making all your votes, and it's a certification, more or less asking the voter, are you sure? Here's what you voted for. Is this what you want to confirm before you push it, and then it certifies it? And when the Democrats vote, and they vote down their list and everything, and they push the button to certify, it's not registering.
It's not registering? How do you know it's not registering?
Because that's what the complaints are. The people that are voting are complaining that it's not registered and certifying their Democratic votes, and it's only happening to the Democrats. And Kathy Dent, one of the supervisors that's really a rabid Republican, she's sitting there saying, well, that's just politics. That's just Democrats complaining there and everything.
Yeah, well, see, this is how they spun this thing, you know, 2 years ago, 4 years ago, and 6 years ago. Oh, it's just Democrats complaining when all the machines just happen to, you push the Democrat button and it happens to flip to the Republican. Gee, what a surprise. Thanks a lot, Armin, for the report. Gus in Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening on WTKG, a clear channel in Grand Rapids. Hey, Gus, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I was going to let you know what happened here in Kent County. I'm in the ward, second ward, 27th precinct. I was just standing in line, and two gentlemen behind me. One obviously put down the pamphlets of Dick DeVos' campaign and how to vote.
The Republican.
Yes, sir. And the only reason I knew that, because there's two other people down, there's a lady picked it up and got furious and asked the poll people running the polls, what's this doing here? And the guy says, oh, he spoke up, and he says, well, it's for me, because I didn't know how to vote. But it's a whole thing of pamphlets. So the guy, the head of the pollster, said, you need to take this and take it out of here.
So the Republicans are trying to pass out Republican voting.
Well, he put it right on the desk. I mean, where you fill out to, you know, to.
These guys are desperate, Gus.
I know.
Just plain old flat out desperate. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. I, you know.
Well, what was so funny about it, Tom, is that the guy said, you got to walk it out. Or put it under your jacket. He had a folder to put them right back into. So it's obviously he was sent there to plant it there.
What a surprise.
Yeah. So I'll let you know what's going on here.
Yep. Thanks a lot for the heads up. I appreciate it. Ron in Elk Grove, California. Hey, Ron.
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I was on my speaker. Sorry about that, everybody.
Okay.
I was just want to bring up the fact that when we're a kid and we're going to school and we learn about civic lessons and voting, and we ask the question, what happens when we cheat? Well, what happens is the teacher says, well, the opposition gets your seat. But in this country, that's not what happens. What happens is the vice president actually takes over and they keep the seat. And I never did understand that. In fact, I think it confuses children and I think it alienates people about what voting really means.
Well, here's the weird thing is when we were in school studying civics, if we cheated, we got flunked out. And I don't know if you saw the blog thing. This is all over the internet that some Yale University, the building that George W. Bush used to live in, they found down in the basement of the building his old college records. And they don't quite match the records, the official records that Yale has. They show that he actually didn't show up for his history classes. He was apparently AWOL for about a year at Yale as well. And because his family is wired into a multimillion dollar donor network at Yale. Now, I have no corroboration. This is blogosphere stuff, so who knows? But apparently they gave him a pass. It would be absolutely consistent with what happened with his Texas Air National Guard time and his going down to Florida or down to Alabama to spend a year in a drunken stupor. Apparently he did the same thing at Yale. So from his point of view, from the head of the Republicans' point of view, if you cheat, you just get your family to pull the strings and you get away with it and you win. And, you know, that's the all the more the tragedy. Jeff in Seattle, Washington. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking the call. I love your show, man. I just wanted to say you've inspired me. All these weeks and months I've been listening to you say, tag, you're it. I took the day off today from work. I'm over at my local Democratic precinct, and I'm putting my boots on the ground, and I'm getting out to vote.
Good on you, Jeff.
Tell people, you got to do this, people. Don't listen to anything. Get out and vote. You know, it stuns me. I hear all these stories that you're talking about, people and these anomalies at the polling places or whatever. Mm. I thought those people are making a royal stink when things like that happen.
Well, they are this year. They are this year. And fortunately, the Democratic Party apparently is going to be helping them make a royal stink. I'll be playing later in the program my interview with Howard Dean yesterday afternoon. And, it is time to do it. Jeff, I got to move along. Thanks a lot for the call. And God bless you. It's great what you're doing out there. Jeff in Toledo, Ohio. We have a little less than a minute, Jeff. What's up?
Hey, I was just going to confirm what your earlier caller said about votes not registering. I'm observing for the five candidates here in Ohio. Woman is absolutely sure she voted for all candidates, all issues. When she pressed finish, the ballot that slid by her said no votes registered. I actually observed a woman wheel a fellow in a wheelchair, severely palsied. They tried to stand him up and hold him up to vote. They didn't even know how to rearrange the machine. I've had a polling place show up, a high school. Move. There's absolutely no signage in front pointing people down to the proper polling place.
Is this is this in a largely Democratic district, Jeff?
Gee, you imagine? Yes, sir.
A storm.
Yes. Yep.
It is.
Historically. So that's, I'm on my way between a couple places right now. I'm trying to hit as many as I can, but, yeah, it's going on, bud.
What a surprise. What a surprise.
Yep.
Okay. Jeff, thanks a lot.
Yep.
Amazing. Alex, we've got an automation problem. Okay. Well, we're going to take a break here. 45 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. Oh, we got 10 more seconds. All righty. Well, I just...
You're listening to the Tom Hartman program.
See how they explain the inexplicable. Watch them all debate the undebatable. Apparently a lie is never liable. Time, time for a talk show screamer. The same Time for a talk show screamer. The same economy.
And welcome back. Listener-supported radio. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, supported by you, supporting our stations and our sponsors. If you like the show, let the station know. If you like the show, let the sponsors know. You're the local sponsors that you're hearing on your local radio station, and, of course, our national sponsors, Sacred Grounds Coffee, for example, saving the planet one cup at a time, sacredgroundscoffee.com, their website, 1-800-425-2532, their telephone number. And if you put the word fall into the checkout coupon at sacredgroundscoffee.com, fall as in the season, you'll get an additional 15% off on your order. Small Dog Electronics, to get the latest iPods now, 1-800-511-MAX, smalldog.com. And the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE, 1-888-ECO-WINE. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. The robocalls are coming through.
30% of illegals are rapists and criminals.
Yeah, 30% of illegals are rapists and criminals. And if you show up to vote, you will be prosecuted. You will be charged, indeed. So this is it. And this is just the tip of it. I mean, the major dirty trick that's going on is, which we talked about yesterday, is that the Republicans are calling people all across the United States, sounding like it's a call from a Democrat, and then calling them again at midnight, and then calling them again at 2 a.m., and then calling them again at 4 a.m., to the point where these people are so angry that they're saying, no way, I'm never going to vote for a Democrat again. And the calls are coming from the Republicans. John in Los Angeles, California. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. I'm originally from Indiana, and my father and my mother and the whole family called me, and my sister lives in LaPorte County, and everybody there works pretty much at the mill, which is about 80 miles away, so people showed up at 6 o'clock when the polls were supposed to open, and they were told that they're having problems with the machines, it's going to be a couple hours, and they're not going to extend the voting times. My father's been arguing with them, and he said, no, there's nothing we can do about it. 6 o'clock is when we're done, and that's it.
So if you're a working person, the hours that you would work, 8 to 6, you can't get in to vote. And if you showed up early, you're toast.
Right. My sister's taking 2 hours off from her job without pay so she can go vote. But a lot of people are getting, you know, discouraged right now because of that.
Yeah. John, thanks for the report. I think this is grim. It's Paul Leto, but it's all again as Mark Crispin Miller says, or no, it was Greg Palast says. He says they have a 4.5 million vote thumb on the scales. We have to turn out 5.5 million votes. Paul Leto, the attorney from Washington State, who's been so involved in election fraud activity, busting up election fraud around the United States in San Diego, California, right now. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Tom. You know, we're in many ways we're looking at a bifurcated or split election. Another way, you know, you got people that are, you know, allowed to vote, people that are suppressed. You got people that, you know, show up to vote and aren't allowed to vote, like in Indiana in the morning, and you got people that, you know, show up and are allowed to vote. But in San Diego now, we've got people showing up at the rate of about 5 per hour, and they're being forced into provisional balloting because of issues with matching addresses. Now,
provisional ballot is basically a placebo ballot, isn't it? Usually they're not counted.
They can oftentimes not be counted. They're supposed to be counted, but a provisional ballot is conditional. In other words, we don't know until a later investigation of registration whether or not that ballot will ever be counted. And also, in some cases, as a practical matter, you know, voting officials will just, like, not even get around to them if there's no close election.
Right, as has happened last time in San Diego, I believe. So what happens is apparently there's been a merge purge of the voting rolls in California. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Well, from San Diego, anyway.
They will claim it's legitimate, but in either case, even if it's legitimate, it hurts Democrats. Here's why. Because Democrats move more and have more address changes. So to the extent it's legitimate, it hurts Democrats. To the extent it's illegitimate, it obviously will also be targeted towards Democrats, at least in jurisdictions like this that are controlled by the Republicans. And then in addition to that, there's a big thing where, you know, you have a right to ask for a paper ballot in California at the polls, but the local registrar has announced that he won't even start counting those paper ballots until Thursday. So we ran into court saying, look, you can't create second-class ballots. Provisionals, there might be a reason to treat them differently because there's a claim, at least, that you're not registered properly. But when people show up at the polls, they're properly registered to vote, you've got absolutely no reason to wait until Thursday. The Superior Court judge said, well, I think that as long as they're included in the final count, there's no damage here, so I think that they have the discretion to do that. And so we're going to an emergency appeal to the Court of Appeals trying to get it heard today because this is separate but equal, Tom. Exactly what they're saying. And if they can, they could just as well say African-American ballots will be counted on Thursday and whites will be counted on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's incredible. Incredible. Well, good on you, Paul, for taking them to court and for being down there in San Diego and overseeing the election. And
so patience is the watchword, Tom, because I think that in any jurisdiction that has either provisionals or paper ballots, the numbers on election night are going to be higher for Republicans than they ought to be. It'll be misleading. And so we need to tell the media, calm down, quit putting pressure on the elections officials, count all the ballots before we make any decisions.
Yep. Well said. Paul Lehto. Thank you, Paul. Thanks for the great work you're doing. By the way, what's your website?
I need to get around to getting a website.
Okay.
I do a lot on democraticunderground.com under the name Landshark. If you want to check that.
Great. democraticunderground.com. Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff over there today. Paul Lehto, out of Washington State, now down in San Diego, helping keep the elections clean. Thank you, Paul. Good on you. It's 56 minutes past the hour. Coming up, we'll continue taking your calls throughout the day. And Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, one of the big, you know, hey, keeping track of what's going on with the elections, guys, is going to be with us at the top of the next hour. And then we're going to play our interview with Howard Dean as well. And then we'll be getting back to your calls and a continuing report on what's going on with the elections all across the country. 57 minutes past the hour.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information. Rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. Here's Tom Hartman.
And if the Republicans are going to scam the system, if they're going to run phony ads causing people to be angry with Democrats, if they're going to run deceptive ads, if they're going to be calling people up and threatening them that they'll be thrown in jail if they show up to vote, if they're going to do all of this kind of voter suppression, I mean, this is the fundamental Republican strategy. Remember what Paul Weyrich said, the Republican strategist who claimed credit for the Reagan victory in 1980 and who is still today helping run Republican strategies, Karl Rove's chief advisor, Paul Weyrich, speaking in a church to a group of Republican activists.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
And all across the United States, Republicans are trying to drive down the voting populace, and making no bones about it, it's quite obvious they're using means both legal and illegal. Brad Friedman is chronicling this over at bradblog.com. Brad, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Great, great. And as I said, I want to keep this entire thing in the frame of if the Republicans are going to try and steal an election, damn it, we're going to steal it back from them. If they're going to steal 4 million votes, we're going to put in 5 million. And not by illegal means, but by having people show up, by having people get active, by having people get out there and participate. If they're going to try and steal 6 million, we're going to show up with 7 million. If they're going to steal 7 million, we're going to show up with 8 million. This is the way to take back America.
So to be clear, you don't mean steal it back. You mean win it legally, fair and square by getting out there and casting your vote and make sure.
I absolutely mean that. Yeah. Yeah. I was paraphrasing Greg Palast. He did a great op-ed piece yesterday that in which he said, you know, if they're going to steal the vote, we need to steal it back.
Yep.
But it's not. Obviously, I would not. And this is the thing. I mean, the Democrats historically have not done this kind of stuff. They don't do this kind of dirty pool politics. Instead, they talk about the positive vision for America. Let's strengthen Social Security. Let's strengthen worker protections. Let's protect the environment. Let's live in a world at peace. Let's work towards, you know, towards strengthening institutions like the United Nations that help bring about world peace. Let's reduce the number of nuclear weapons in the world. Let's go towards alternative energy sources. I mean, these are, you know, Nancy Pelosi's laid out her 100-hour agenda. What she's going to do in the first 100 hours if she becomes speaker. The Republicans, they got nothing of that. The Republicans are all about, oh, well, we're going to cut taxes, more taxes for millionaires and billionaires. We're going to reduce them even further and borrow the money from our children and grandchildren and throw America even further into debt so that one day we can claim we don't have enough money for those socialist programs like Social Security and Medicare.
Well, you're talking about issues. That's crazy talk, Tom Hartman.
I know. So
I don't know what you're thinking there.
So let's talk about what the Republicans are doing that's got nothing to do with issues.
Well, let me tell you what. You know what? Forget what Republicans for the moment are doing. You know, I've been talking about these voting machines forever now and concerned about the meltdown, and set aside who may be stealing what, who may be doing dirty tricks and everything else for the moment. The damn machines don't work. And I've been yelling and screaming about this, and now we're seeing machines breaking down all over the country, in Florida, in Utah, in Indiana, in Virginia. This is going on, and you know I had called for, hey, people, get emergency paper ballot measures in place. Now, some states are better than others in that regard, but a lot of folks are being turned away because they're showing up and the machines aren't there. They're not starting up. They're freezing up. People need to stay patient. They need to stay in line. They need to find out if they're entitled to ask for a paper ballot. Because, frankly, the reports are going through the roof. I can't even keep up right now at bradblog.com. And, you know, never mind who's gaming the system, if anyone. The damn machines don't work, Tom. That's
well, there's a, you know, if you want to just talk about the machines, Brad, in my mind, there's a much larger issue with regard to the machines. And that is that the machines represent the privatization of our vote. If
right.
we believe in America, in the founding principle of this nation, that there is a commons, that there is stuff that we share in common, we are going to collectively own our schools. We are going to collectively own our police departments. We're going to collectively own our fire departments. We collectively own the national forests and the parks and the air and the water. We collectively own our streets and our streetlights and the common areas. If we believe in the commons in the United States, and if we believe that the government is a part of the commons that we collectively own, we the people, the first three words of the Constitution, we own the commons of the government, then therefore the most important part of the commons of the government that we should own is the vote by which we tell our elected representatives, not leaders, representatives, how they should represent us.
That's right.
And who got the crazy idea to privatize our vote?
You're absolutely right. That is the most important common area of our government, and we've given this away such that there's no oversight. And it's just outrageous. I will throw in one thing. Don't know if you covered this. Laura Ingraham has been telling people to jam the voting hotlines, the Democratic voting hotlines, the complaint lines, with prank calls. It's unbelievable. People are now having trouble getting through to those phone lines because she is encouraging people to jam those lines. These guys, what they do is...
Right-wing talk show hosts are... Man, I'm so sad to hear that.
It's twisted. That's what these guys are about, keeping people from voting. The only way that they can win is to keep people from voting and doing everything they can to subvert democracy.
Okay, I'm looking at bradblog.com. Let's just go through some of these really quickly. We have about 3 minutes here before we have to take a break, Brad. San Diego judge denies writ seeking to force county to count paper ballots as normal ballots.
Well, in California, everyone is entitled to vote on a paper ballot if they ask for it, if they know about that matter, and if they actually provide any at the polls. And yet, down in San Diego, which is a very important race, they have said that they're not going to count any of those paper ballots.
We just heard from Paul Lato. We just heard from Paul Lato down there. In fact, he's litigating that. In Arizona, you said the over at bradblog.com, you're pointing out that the GOP-pushed ID laws are keeping people away from the polls.
That's right. People aren't being able to register, or haven't been able to register over the past several weeks because of all of this. In Missouri, you had the same thing. A photo ID law was found to be unconstitutional, and yet the Secretary of State went in to vote on Friday and was asked for her ID three times, told she couldn't vote unless she gave a picture ID. She said, I'm the Secretary of State. That law has been overturned. And the poll worker said, no, I've been instructed to make sure you give a photo, that all voters give a photo ID.
Even when she showed her voter registration card.
That's right.
Sorry, that's not good enough anymore. Okay, down in Florida, Florida candidate finds unattended voting machines in Pinellas County.
They're sitting around down there not being attended to. And, in fact, down in Pinellas, We had situations with, as well, intimidation at the polls and machines not starting up. The ones that were left sitting out there were Sequoia voting machines, the ones with that yellow button that you can press and vote as many times as you want.
Right, and the instructions are on the web on how to do it. You push the yellow button, hold it down for 3 seconds, it flips the machine into manual mode. You can toss 1,000 votes into it for a particular candidate, push the button again, it flips it back into automatic mode, and it's as if 1,000 people just voted.
That's right. You can vote as much as you want until you're actually physically restrained from doing so. Down in, and we're having trouble, by the way, with poll workers all over the country. I've got an item last night. I heard from an inspector down in San Diego. They've assigned 2,000 high school students to be touchscreen inspectors and to keep
in San Diego County
overnight on sleepovers.
Oh, man. So we're sending hackable Diebold touchscreen systems home with not just poll workers, but high school students?
High school students, 2,000 of them, and they are the touchscreen inspectors in San Diego's race, where they're using these Diebold touchscreen machines across the entire county for the first time this year.
Well, I was going to say maybe they're Democratic kids, but we don't want that. We just don't want that. I mean, we need to have a system. You know, up in Canada, we used to live in Vermont and right on the border there with Canada. And up in Canada and Quebec, they tried voting machines for one cycle and said, you know, screw this. This is not working. And they got rid of them. And they've gone back to paper, as all of Europe does. I mean, nobody else in the world is using these insane machines. It's Venezuela actually just started using them. But other than that, more GOP fun with phone calls, telemarketing techniques used to push polls.
Yeah, you're seeing, it falls in the dirty tricks category. You're seeing this everywhere, again, coming from the GOP. They're doing push polls all over the country, using telemarketing techniques. Are you in favor? Do you think judges shouldn't rule in favor of abortion? Click here if yes. And then they're saying, well, then the one to vote for you is blah, blah, blah. More insidious, however, seems to be this plan, and it seems to be national because it's coming up in states all over the place, which is to barrage Democratic voters with misleading push polls that sound like they are for the Democrat. In reality, they're sponsored by the Republican Party. But people are getting so angry, all they hear is the first line, you know, saying, I have some important information about so-and-so Democratic candidate. People are then hanging up. The robocalls are calling back over and over and over again.
In some cases, all night long.
That's right.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Bradblog.com, the website. Brad Friedman. Brad, thanks for being with us today.
Have a feeling we'll talk to you later, Tom.
I'm sure of it, today and tomorrow.
Yes,
good
sir.
Talking with you. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, the pill that will help you escape the matrix, my friend. 16 minutes past the hour.
Up on all your dirty tricks. Bye, bye, Blackwell. Elections without oversight make miracles happen overnight. Bye, bye, Blackwell.
Welcome back to the place where progressives, true progressives, fiendishly plot for total world domination, or at least a clean election. You know, we'd really settle for a clean election. Here's a conversation I had with Howard Dean yesterday after we got off the air. It was the first time he was available. It was around 1:30 Pacific time, 4:30 Eastern time yesterday afternoon. Governor Howard Dean, the head of the DNC, is with us. Governor Dean, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Thank you very much for having me on.
I'm hearing from people all over the country doing my national program, hearing from them, not so much here in Oregon. We have vote by mail, so time isn't such
right.
a thing in the last minute. But I'm hearing from people all over the country that they're getting robocalls that sound like they're from a Democratic candidate. And these calls, you know, but they're rather boring calls, so they hang up on them. And they get called back hour after hour after hour, in some cases all night long, and they're about to scream at the Democratic candidates.
Right. These are, of course, Republican calls. We don't do that sort of thing. The Republicans are not nice, and they have done a lot of stuff like that. In fact, we're actually in the middle of a case prosecuting them for a civil case after they've already been convicted criminally for doing something like this in New Hampshire with a phone jamming scandal. You know, the Republicans, this is one of the reasons I think people are fed up with the Republicans. Their philosophy is, win at all costs, even if it's not good for the country. Well, that's not very, and that's how they've governed as well. So the fact is, that people need to go out and vote. And it doesn't matter how mad you get at the Republicans, just go out and vote because we need your vote. Don't get put off by these calls and so forth. We know that's going on around the country, and we feel bad about it because clearly there's a responsibility issue here. But you just got to get out and vote. If you want to change the country, you got to get out and vote.
This seems to have just started in the last 6, 8, 10, 12 hours that these robocalls by Republicans representing themselves as Democrats are happening. In New Mexico, we have reports of robocalls telling people that they should vote in a district in which they're not registered to vote as well.
Yeah, well, they'd like to do that, too. I mean, this is, you know, as I said before, these folks don't value democracy terribly highly. So we've got to do the best we can to get our folks out there and not allow them to be demoralized by disingenuous behavior.
How do we get the word out to the average voter who is, you know, their main input is the fact that their phone has rang 15 times and they think it's their local Democratic candidate and they're furious?
I'm hoping that this is well known that this is going on. I'm hoping that we'll make a special effort to phone these folks or let them know or email them. Or even put it out on radio shows like yours.
Yeah. I would think that maybe even a national TV ad buy of some sort exposing it would be useful.
Plan Larry King tonight. Maybe I'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah, because I have talked with a couple of Democrats who folks who are volunteering to call, you know, get out the vote calls. And they say that they're getting a lot of hang-ups. The people think it's the people are, you know, think it's another one of these robocalls.
Yeah.
And what it's doing is apparently in a legal way, it's doing what the Republicans in New Hampshire did illegally, which is they shut down the outbound phone banks by calling in and tying up the phone lines. Now they're causing the voters to hang up on people who are doing, get out the vote calls because they get them so angry.
Right, right. Well, it's a huge problem. But at the end of the day, people are going to want to exercise their right to vote, I think, and we just have to rely on that. But I do think I'll speak about it tonight on Larry King. It's a dirty tactic, but that's why we need a change in this country, because you just can't trust the Republicans. You just can't trust them to do the right thing.
Now, you've put together the National Voter Protection Hotline. The DNC established this 1-888-DEM-VOTE, 1-888-DEM-VOTE.
That's something people can call, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are feeling, feeling pretty bad and beat up about this kind of stuff. They can call that National Voter Protection Hotline and make their views clear about this calling and ask us to do something about it, and chances are we will be able to do something about it.
So this is to let you know about potential violations of the law, or at least harassment by Republicans.
Exactly right.
I understand you're also putting together over 7,500 pro bono lawyers and law students across the United States to make sure that the vote is actually a vote, that people actually...
You can call 1-888-DEM-VOTE, 1-888-DEM-VOTE. That's the line that you were talking about before. If you see anything funny at the polls, we know that there's been some abuses in early voting already where people will press the name of the Democrat and up on the screen that you voted for will come the name of the Republican. We've been on top of that. That happened during the Virginia race for governor. We were able to send people there within minutes. So if you see anything like that happening, you dial 1-888-DEM-VOTE, and we will have our lawyers and folks there within a few minutes to be able to deal with it. Do not leave the polling place without voting.
Mm-hmm.
No one should leave the polling place without voting. The Republicans will try to... they've been making calls to legal Hispanic residents of America saying if you come... and you're a naturalized citizen, you won't be allowed to vote. You could be arrested. If you haven't paid your rent, you'll be arrested. You should go to different polling places. This is all dirty tricks. It's why the Republicans are about to be broomed out of office, because people don't think this kind of stuff belongs in America.
That's our discussion with Governor Howard Dean yesterday, the head of the Democratic National Committee. We'll be back with your calls right after this break at the Tom Hartman Radio Program, where reason is our lifestyle choice. Yes, indeed, my friends, the old truth teller here with you. The program where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison, not some right-wing think tank. Tom Hartman with you, 34 minutes past the hour. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. 866-440-THOM. TomHartman.com, our website, if you want to drop into our live chat room. Tom in San Francisco, California, listening on the Quake. Hey, Tom, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, I want to thank you, and I want to thank you for getting on here live so people can actually hear you.
Well, thank you. You should thank the management of the Quake. It was their decision.
I mean, I have to say that I really love your program, and I really love the fact of the historical value you bring to the arguments. And I was really impressed with the thing you did on Newt Gingrich, heard it on a replay, I guess, on the weekend, by Newt Gingrich's book, and, you know, I've sworn on the altar of God and stuff by Jefferson, right?
But I
was very impressed about how you put it into the context, and how Gingrich, you know, who is a historian, is lying. I mean,
he's a professor of history, and he's lying about Thomas Jefferson. I mean, it's mind-boggling. This is what Republicans do, because their worldview of an elite conservative aristocracy ruling a country because they believe that human nature is evil, and therefore you must rule people, not represent people.
I guess so. But I do want to say one thing about the voting and stuff, and the thing I heard weeks and weeks ago from you about the voting in Germany and stuff, I don't understand why Americans are in such a gosh darn instant need gratification to have their votes counted immediately.
Yeah.
You know?
You'd rather have an accurate count than a fast count.
Yeah, I mean, I want an accurate count. I don't want a fast count. I don't even know. And by the way, when I was growing up, because I'm 52, Mission Impossible showed how they fixed an election, the old 60s series, where they pushed the vote back by 1,000 votes because they know that how many people are going to be voting because they're all required to vote in this mythological, you know, country. And they push the vote back by 1,000, and they up it by 1,000 for the candidate they want to win.
This is sort of like the negative 16,000 votes that Al Gore got in 2000
election.
In, what was it, Pinellas County, Florida?
and the thing is that I'm thinking that, if you start thinking like a thief, understand that's how you cheat.
Yeah.
And that's how things are stolen from us.
Yep.
And that's why, Tom,
it is so important that we not only speak out about this stuff, but we also show up at the polls, show up, you know, call
exactly.
in the talk radio, write letters to the editor, contact our elected representatives, and say, you know, number one, this whole voting machine thing, who came up with the insane idea of turning the vote, the most precious part of the commons, because it's the way that we interface with the commons of government, the most vital of the commons, turning this over to private for-profit corporations who do it in secret?
Yeah, I mean, that's just crazy, but of course, it's the whole thing in secret, secret court, secret evidence, secret this and that, you know, like,
oh, it's all consistent. It's all consistent with the Bushies. Tom, I got to move along. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you, and thanks for listening to us there on the Quake in San Francisco. David in Asheville, North Carolina. Hey, David.
Hey, Tom. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks for calling. What's up?
I caught a Republican talking point today. Our local news, of course, is taken over by Sinclair Broadcasting here in Asheville.
Yeah.
And I also heard Sean Hannity later talking about this on ABC National News. And the talking point I keep hearing is, this is the closest election I've ever seen.
Yeah, right.
And that's total bunk, because Gallup is showing a 35-seat lead for the Dems in the House. Even Robert Novak's poll is showing plus 19 seats, and I think this is just their way to get us used to the idea, so that for some people, if the Republicans pull it off by thievery, it's going to seem plausible.
Right. If you're going to game an election, or if you're going to steal an election, then you want to make sure that people think that it's possible that the election wasn't stolen. And yes, of course, it makes perfect sense that Fox News would be right out in front of that. David,
well,
thanks
is,
a lot for the call.
This is ABC.
Yeah, well, even worse.
Yeah.
Even worse, yeah. David, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. Alex in Chicago, Illinois. Hey, Alex.
Oh, hi. I have a solution to the problem of the Republicans suppressing the vote.
What's that?
Actually, why not adopt the law that practice other democratic countries? Official can be elected only when more than 50% of population participated.
Yeah. Well, you know, in Australia, you actually get hit with a $25 fine the first year that you don't vote. It's like it's added to your taxes, and it increases every year, and it can get pretty steep. And so they have like 95% participation with the vote in Australia. I'm not, you know, advocating that. I think it's something that Americans would reject. But you do make a good point, Alex, that we need to have higher levels of participation, and we need to figure out ways to do it, you know, other than basically bribing people.
And the most important, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and the most important, why not to move the election on a Sunday, like every other country?
Sure, yeah, or over several days, for that matter. I mean, you know, it could be done over a two-day period easily enough.
Yes,
I mean,
because
Sundays
of the
and
people,
Mondays.
These days, they can't afford to take day off.
Yeah.
Basically, even a couple hours off.
Yeah, I agree. And when you get into Saturdays and Sundays, then you get religious groups who say, hey, wait a minute, that's my Sabbath. So that's why you do it over 2 days. So at least two days. Good point. Alex, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Wayne in Wisconsin. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great, but I'll get better. What's up, Wayne?
I just wanted to make 2 points.
Yes, sir.
With voting machines, my job is I'm a network administrator, and I administer a network with over 300 machines on the network, and I followed this from the start of the talk of electronic voting, and I absolutely do not trust that this is going to be a fair and honest vote. I can sit here and give you half a dozen ways that anybody with basic computer skills could hack these machines. So,
it's been demonstrated. I mean, it's Columbia University. I mean, it's been demonstrated over and over again. None of these machines are invulnerable to hacking. But see, in my mind, that's even the smaller issue. The larger issue is the felony against democracy. I'd say it's a misdemeanor against democracy if some city wants to turn a public road into a toll road, or if George Bush wants to privatize the concession stands at Yellowstone. In other words, privatizing part of the commons. Those are misdemeanors against democracy. But when you privatize the vote, you turn the vote over to a private for-profit corporation that then handles the whole thing in private, in secret, and claims trade law, proprietary software. You can't see how this is handled. That's a felony against democracy in and of itself, regardless of whether the technology is safe.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
My second quick point, Tom, and then I'll let you move on to other callers. I'm a veteran, and I would like to remind all my fellow veterans out there that our oath that we took, I happen to have taken mine during the Vietnam era, was to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That's our job, fellows. We still got to do it. Get out and vote. We want our country back.
Amen. Because we have some enemies domestic right now. They are trying to take down this democracy, and it's a tragedy. Wayne, thank you. And thank you for serving your country. Good to hear from you. Karen in Toledo, Ohio. Hey, Karen.
Hey, Tom. I have some good news to report.
What's that?
I voted into a Diebold machine this morning, very skeptical, and everything went fine.
How do you know?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how they counted my vote, but I've
heard that's the big question. I mean, it can look just fine. If you went to your bank and you put money into a Diebold, you know, ATM, or you took money out of a Diebold ATM, you'd be fairly confident you'd get a receipt, right?
The ATM at my bank is a Diebold, and I get mad every time I use it.
But it is. I mean, Diebold does know how to program these things so that they work, and yet the Diebold voting machines are being constantly hacked into. And I mean, you know, not during election. Well, not it hasn't been demonstrated during elections, but off elections. The problem is that they're just saying, we're not going to tell you. We're not going to tell you what happened to your vote.
I mean, right. I mean, I'm not saying my vote. I'm not guaranteed my vote got counted the way I put it in there.
Yeah.
But the machine,
and that's the problem.
It didn't like wipe all my vote out at the end, or you know, it didn't crash or anything that
I
could see.
If you're going to program a machine to do that, you don't program it to do it 100% of the time. You figure, okay, if the Republicans are going to lose this district by 4%, then we're going to program the machine to crash 6% of the time. And so, you know, only one out of every, what would that be, 15 or 16 voters or something like that are going to have their machine blow up on them. But Karen, thanks for the you know, encouraging news, I guess. Tom in Enfield, Connecticut. Hey, Tom.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for the great voice up here in the Northeast. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Hey, listen, I don't know if you heard about this. Did you hear about KFBK out in Sacramento playing a two-minute political commercial for a Republican U.S. Senate candidate Dick Mountjoy during an EAS test. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it happened yesterday at 10 o'clock in the morning. Apparently, you know, the EAS test, the Emergency Alert System test,
right,
is about 30 seconds to 60 seconds in length. But somehow the Clear Channel station forgot to send the tones that stop all the receivers from, you know, broadcasting the test.
Yeah.
And 17 Northern California counties aired, they believe, these are counties we're talking about, so tons of stations, aired a two-minute political commercial for Dick Mountjoy after the EAS test. And for some reason, Clear Channel can't explain it. They just said, well, the tones just didn't get out somehow.
Well, let me tell you from personal experience.
The tones
don't always work. I can tell you from personal experience.
You know, and you and I have been in radio for a number of years, and you know that tones are sent, and a board tech is there to stop anything that's not supposed to go over the air. But, I'm not ready,
as much as I'm into conspiracy theories, I'm not quite ready to assume that this was, hey, it might be a bad board op. I mean, it might have been somebody who screwed the thing up, but, you know, who knows? I don't know. Tom, thanks for the heads up on that. It's interesting. I'm assuming that the, in fact, I know the candidate is a Republican. Gee, what a surprise. 45 minutes past the hour. We'll be back with your calls right after this break. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, the place where smart people get their news.
Lonely feeling deep inside. Find the corner. Well, I can hide. Silent footsteps crowding me. Sudden darkness, but I can see.
And welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, telling the truth that multinational corporations would really rather you didn't know all about. 9.5 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. Victoria Jones on the line with us, our senior Diebold correspondent with the Talk Radio News Service in Washington, D.C., talkradionews.com. Hey, Victoria, I want to take some calls here while you're on the line with me, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. You got any news to report?
Well, I voted by a Diebold machine, so my vote didn't count, so I think I'll go back and vote again.
Yeah. You know, if it was a Sequoia machine, there's a little yellow button on the back. You can push that button for 3 seconds. It'll flip the machine into manual mode, and you can vote 500 or 1,000 times over and over and over again. Push the button again, and it stores those votes as 500 or 1,000 different votes, and do whatever you'd like.
Well, that's perfect. Well, what I can report is I'm responsible for two areas, Maryland and Virginia. There are reports of voter suppression in Democratic areas of Virginia that are going on.
Yeah, and the FBI, I understand, is looking into them.
That's absolutely right.
Let's take some callers. Michael in San Francisco, California, listening on the Quake in San Francisco. Hey, Michael.
Hi, Tom. I enjoyed your show on vote flipping with Harvey Wasserman, and I have a suggestion. What if people were to bring their camera cell phones and document this Democratic to Republican vote flipping? That way they couldn't spin it as denial or whining. Maybe
absolutely. And in fact, there is a website that is gathering those videos, Michael. It's called videothevote.org.
Great.
If you go to videothevote.org, you can register and you can post, you can upload to that site your video of votes being flipped or any other kind of irregularities that happen in a polling place.
Great.
And we're, you know, trying to pull together documentaries out of it. Michael, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Victoria, any you know, do you know of any news organizations that are seriously trying, you know, looking into this?
No, I don't, as a matter of fact. I think they're starting to, and I have a feeling that MSNBC, if anybody, is going to take it more seriously than the rest. And
yeah,
then,
because of Lou Dobbs, in all probability, because he's actually talking about it.
Yeah, I think Lou Dobbs will take it fairly seriously. Fox, I suspect, is perhaps, this will surprise you, Tom, perhaps not going to devote very much time to it.
Unless Republicans lose, in which case it'll be the lead story on Fox.
It will be a huge story, as for the fact that it was Hugo Chavez who was behind it.
That's right. Just like they did in Washington State when Dino Rossi, the Republican, lost to Christine Gregoire, the Democrat, and the Republicans, and he went on for 6 months, as I recall, screaming, you know, the election was stolen, the election was stolen, those nasty Democrats, they're doing vote fraud. Jackie in Seattle, speaking of Washington, Jackie in Seattle, you're live with me and Victoria Jones.
Hi, Tom. Two things real quick. First, I just wanted to say thank you for what you said at the top of your show about the signers of the Declaration of Independence and what happened to them.
Yes.
You brought tears to my eyes. You really did. And it was just so disheartening to me that what's going on now, just it makes a mockery of their sacrifice.
Well, take that emotion of disheartening and convert it into activism. Convert it into positive energy, because that's what we have to do. We have to take this country back, just like the founders and framers did.
Well, thank you. And then my other thing is, yesterday I listened to all of your show and parts of the Ed Schultz and Rachel Maddow shows. Now, each of you covered the topic of voter suppression at length. And then later in the evening I watched my local news, and I also watched the NBC and CBS national news broadcasts. And the suppression issue wasn't mentioned even once. They weren't talking about robocalling or the rigged voting machines, false information given to voters. And I just want to know why people, you know, outside of the liberal shows aren't really talking about this.
Mm. Good question, Victoria.
Well, I just don't think it's taken very seriously until after the fact. In fact, I've seen a couple of reports really making it into kind of a fun thing, that the robocalls are kind of funny, really, and, you know, and something to be jolly about. I don't think it's taken seriously.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah. Okay. Howard in upstate New York, you're live with Victoria Jones and me. Hey, Howard.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Great. What's up?
Wish we had you here in upstate New York. I've got to listen to you on the computer. There's no station, as far as I know.
Yeah, I don't think
for probably 300 miles.
Doesn't have a station in that area. Yeah. So anyhow, so what's up?
Yeah, well, there's so many things to talk about, but one thing that I want to mention is on the GOP's website today, GOP.com, they have what amounts to a list of talking points. I have a feeling this is primarily aimed at the media.
Yes, we got this yesterday. All the talk show hosts got it yesterday afternoon from RNC Research, and it's about 7 pages of what they call vote fraud by Democrats.
Well, that was yesterday, okay? This is today. And today it says, beware of exit polls, bias, and inaccurate predictions.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, in fact, I have that here.
Yeah, and basically it looks like they're laying the groundwork for when the exit polls begin coming in later this afternoon on the Senate races. I know there aren't any on the House races, but on the Senate races, and they're going to cut heavily toward the Democrats.
Yeah.
And then when the quote real vote comes in, like it did in Ohio at 10 or 11 o'clock a couple of years ago, they're going to be able to say, well, see, we told you that the exit polls sway toward Democrats.
Yeah. Victoria, the exit polls, there's a piece in the Wall Street Journal today about how the exit polls are being sequestered. They're using a clean room to do the exit polls in.
Yes, it's completely sealed. It has no windows, no nothing. You go in there, you have your phone, your BlackBerry, and your computer taken away from you. All you're allowed access to is the information, and you just stay in there. And that's it.
Because they don't want it to leak. Now, in the last election 2 years ago, I was doing local vote. I was doing the national show, but that evening, WDEV in Vermont carries our show, and so I went in, and Ken Squire and I were doing election coverage, the guy who runs the station, and I was on the air when the AP feed came down saying that Karen Hughes had just sat George W. Bush down and told him he'd lost the election, and he didn't seem to be concerned. And then 20 minutes later, it came down, George Bush won. I mean, and the original was based on the exit polls. Do you think something like that's going to happen again this time?
It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, amazing. Victoria Jones, our senior Diebold correspondent with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com. Thanks, Victoria.
Thank you.
Good talking with you. Oh, man. Update. Laura Ingraham has asked her listeners to call the Dem Voter Protection Hotline, and they're now being flooded with calls from prank callers. Please call Laura and tell her what you think of this. Her number is 800-876-4123. 1-800-876-4123. Oh, man. 57 minutes past there. We'll be back after the news.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information. Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
It's election day. Get out there, show up, vote. If they try to give you a placebo ballot, if they say, gee, I don't see your name on the list here, and you know that you're registered in that precinct, don't let them just give you a placebo ballot, a provisional ballot that may never get counted. Instead say, well, then I want to see a supervisor because I know my name should be on that list, and make sure that your name is on the list. And if it's not on the list, raise holy hell. This is the time to stand up, speak out, and participate in our democracy if we're going to take back this country. Susan Turnbull is with us. She is the vice chair of the DNC, Democrats.org, their website. Susan, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm great. I am holding high hopes for today. Mm-hmm. By the way, the website for anybody who has concerns or issues with the Democratic vote is 1-888-DEM-VOTE. This is the number Howard Dean gave us earlier as well. Susan, what's happening? We're hearing all these reports from all across the United States of voter suppression efforts by Republicans and robocalls. I have clips actually here I could play of robocalls threatening people that they'll be thrown in jail if they go to vote, telling people to vote in places where they're not registered to vote or in precincts that they shouldn't be voting at, saying that there's a whole series of them. I mean, it's mind-boggling.
It's appalling. It is possibly the most disheartening thing you can say about Election Day. I live in Maryland, and I can tell you that people have been sending me photos of fake ballots that people are handing out at the polls. Photos, pictures of them. They are sending out anti-Semitic literature in African American precincts in Prince George's County, Maryland. They have signs on the streets that are just really awful signs, things like "Don't be a slave for the Democrats" in Prince George's County, Maryland. I mean, these are awful things. And the robocalls, our estimation is that they have spent close to $600,000 on those robocalls that are being put out in the middle of the night and were put out in the middle of the night last night. The good news is, I think people are hearing about all of this. Just to give you another
sense. Unlike the voter suppression in Ohio in 2004, when nobody really knew about it when the news hit.
Right. I mean, I just got off the phone with Francis Strickland, whose husband is going to be the next governor of Ohio. He's running 36 points ahead of Ken Blackwell, for good reason. Mm. And one of the things that Francis said is that, you know, their feeling right now is that they are so far ahead that no one will be able to believe it if it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. That every single poll has shown them that. And I think what we need to do is have the highest numbers of votes possible. We're seeing today, for example, in Connecticut, New York, and Rhode Island, that in those three states, Democratic turnout has been record-breaking. Yeah. We're seeing, and this is as of right now, we also have heard that in Virginia 10, which is a woman named Judy Fetter running against Frank Wolf, she was a sleeper seat, and people are seeing that as a possible takeover. If there is that kind of Democratic turnout in that district, that means Jim Webb is going to be the next senator from Virginia. In Washington State, a district that people hadn't been paying attention to, Washington 5, that one, we're seeing high Democratic turnout. I mean, basically, across the country, the turnout is so good, but basically, it's against all odds because the negative campaigning and the illegal activity that went on last night is just appalling.
Yeah, last night and the night before, actually.
Yeah, actually, John Elliott called me on Saturday afternoon from San Diego, who's one of your colleagues, mm-hmm. Called me and said that he had gotten callers calling into him that night. I was on his show again last night, and callers were calling about just awful signage put up in polling places in Delray Beach, Florida. Mm-hmm. Basically, they can't win it if it's on a fair playing field, and so they're trying to steal another election.
Susan, I'm so pleased. I think it's a tragedy that we're having this conversation, but I'm so pleased to hear you say these things, and here's why. A similar conversation I had with Howard Dean earlier. 5 years ago, I wrote an article about how the former chairman of ES&S, what is now ES&S, was Chuck Hagel. That he worked for George W. Bush for 20 years. Then he went to work for a company that was started by a family that believes that the Bible should replace the Constitution. and that became ES&S. Mm-hmm. And he was elected in Nebraska on the voting machines that he sold to Nebraska in what the Washington Post called the upset victory of the year. It sounds like conspiracy theory almost. You know, it sounds mm-hmm. weird. And for the last two election cycles, the 2002 election and the 2004 election, what I was hearing officially from Democrats, from a number of Democratic candidates and from the Democratic Party, was don't talk about this so much because it's going to dishearten Democrats. And I kept saying, no, it's going to piss them off. It's going to get them so angry that they're going to show up in larger numbers than before. And now we read these articles that Robert F. Kennedy has written. On November 12th, 2001, the New York Times published the results of the count of the Florida election, which was stopped by the lawsuit. And it turned out that no matter how you counted the ballots in 2000, Al Gore actually got more votes in Florida. I mean, we've had, you know, three stolen elections here. And to be calling the Republicans out on this now, I think is so important.
I mean, I can tell you that we have people across the country. My brother is standing at a poll in Cleveland and Maple Heights, Ohio. He's at a polling place that has three different precincts, and he's there day in and day out today to make sure that there's no funny business. I think what we're finding is that our efforts are working. People are calling Dem Vote. 1-888 Dem Vote is so efficient that you call them, you give a report, and someone is Johnny on the spot or Jane on the spot to answer that problem.
Now, here's a problem, Susan. We're mm-hmm. talking with Susan Turnbull, who's the vice chair of the DNC. Laura Ingraham.
I was going to just about to say that.
Okay,
it's being so successful that Laura Ingraham from a radio host was telling her listeners to try to jam our lines.
Yeah.
Jam our lines. Now, if that's not called voter suppression, I don't know what is.
Yeah, that's a tragedy. Let's talk about, we've got all that. Let's look at the upside of this. What races are you seeing? First of all, what's your take on how the total is going to shake out here?
I mean, I'm sure Howard told you the same thing. We strongly believe we're going to take the House. There's no question we're going to take the House. And the question is with what kind of majority. We're also going to pick up governorships, and we'll have a majority of the governor mansions across the country. The question is going to be what we're doing in the Senate. And obviously we're going to have gains. There's some automatic pickups practically at this point. You're going to see Sherrod Brown and Bob Casey as new members of the new Democratic members in the Senate. I think that the next year you're going to find, John Tester and, Sheldon Whitehouse, John Tester from Montana and Sheldon Whitehouse from Rhode Island. And then maybe because I live here and I watch it on television, I have the radio commercials and I've actually done some campaigning for Jim Webb. I think Jim Webb is going to win. I mean,
if you take Montana and you take Virginia, you've got the country.
Yep.
You got a 51 Democrats to 49 Republicans. And that's, but if you look at, I don't know if you're familiar with electoral-vote.com.
Mm-hmm.
I find this to be the most competent of the update. I mean, they update it every hour with they subscribe to and pay for and use all of the polls.
Mm-hmm.
And they're showing right now 51 Democrats, 49 Republicans based on these polls in the Senate. And in the House, they're showing 239 Democrats, 195 Republicans, and one tie.
Wow.
Yeah, and
yeah.
I just check it out, electoral-vote.com, and they back up every single one. You can mouse over a state, and they list all the polls and the exact percentages, so this is going to be a great day if the Republicans don't manage to somehow steal it.
Right,
and
people will see that as stealing, and I think one of the efforts that's out there is the do not concede.
Yes,
and I think that's really important. And I also think what's also important is that we have video the vote.
.org.
.org, which is basically if you see something wrong, we're going to fix it, and we're going to stand up to these guys because this is just bullies, and this is just wrong. And why it's wrong goes down to our voters are energized and they're voting for change for this country. And they're voting for change for this country because this country needs a change.
Well said. Susan Turnbull, she is the vice chair of the DNC And I am so pleased to hear you and Howard Dean standing up and speaking out. The DNC out here doing a great job. Democrats.org, the website, 1-888-DEM-VOTE. If you have any voting problems, Susan, thank you for being with us today.
Great to be with you, Tom. Thanks so much.
It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. We'll be back right after this, 16 minutes past the hour.
Was right and not political code. Where leaders in D.C. still respected you and me. The America my daddy taught to me.
And welcome back to the real free speech zone. No barbed wire, no cages, no RNC pass required to get out. We won't drag you off if there's a bumper sticker that says no blood for oil on your car. Tom Hartman here with you, 21 minutes past the hour. By the way, reminder, I'll be at the San Francisco Green Festival on Saturday, the 11th of November, which is also my 34th wedding anniversary. Louise, which is it? 35? We can't keep track. Anyhow, we were married at 11-11 on 11-11. Anyhow, I'll be there Saturday, November 11th at noon on the main stage at the San Francisco Green Festival and San Francisco Concourse Exhibition Center with a book signing afterwards. That's this coming Saturday, November 11th. And also, welcome to KQ. Since speaking of San Francisco, welcome to our listeners on KQKE, the Quake in San Francisco. 1-866-440-THOM, 866-440-8466, our telephone number, tomhartman.com, live online chat, free, just drop in, it's real easy if you'd like to participate in our chat room. Steven in Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, Steven, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Tom, Neil Bortz, the libertarian feudal society advocate.
Yeah, I know Neil, actually.
Really? Well,
I used to live in Atlanta.
Yeah, oh, that's right, yeah. So, okay. He was claiming that he was unable to vote because someone in the past 2 years re-registered him in the precinct where, under the address of the radio station where he broadcasts from.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's what he claims, and he was using that to go off on his anti-government rant, see, some government worker changed and now I can't vote. And it's funny because this guy has picked on Cynthia McKinney for decrying voter suppression and democratically voting.
Well, and you know what I'll bet happened is very often if I'm doing something like, for example, if I'm giving money to a candidate or if I'm, something that may show up in a public record,
yeah,
and it asks for my address. I use the radio station address here in Portland, Oregon, because this is where I get my mail. And, because I live on a houseboat, you know, on the river. And, I actually have a postal address for the houseboat, but, you know, I'd rather, if a public address for me is going to get published, I'd rather it was the radio station than my home. And I can understand where he might do the same thing, but that he would then blame it on some government bureaucrat. How do they know what his radio station address is?
Yeah, really. You know, it just shows you that they like to call liberals and people like, you know, such as yourself as crackpot conspiracy theorists just if we entertain some possibilities of shenanigans here and there.
Yeah.
And yet here he is at the drop of a hat. Exactly like the people that he picks on,
yeah,
for crying about the vote.
Yeah, and these are the same people who will tell you that the only reason Jack Kennedy won is because Mayor Daley rigged the election in Chicago, when in fact, if Kennedy had lost all of Illinois, he would still be president. But they have been so successful in getting that meme out there that people actually believe it.
Yeah, if
incredible.
It helps them, they'll go for it. But if it's against them, it's black and white.
There you go. Well said. Stephen, thanks for the call. Bob in Sacramento, California, listening to KSAC. Talk 10, what's the frequency there, Bob?
Hi, Tom.
What's the frequency, Ken?
Well,
pardon me.
1240.
1240. Talk, yeah. 1240, that's right.
Yeah, and in fact, what they're going on my radio is something different from what was I was hearing through the telephone just now. So I
that's because there's a delay in it on the line. That's why you need to listen to the phone instead of the radio. So
well,
anyhow, what's up?
I want to tell you why I admire and respect you so much, and that is that you alone among talk show hosts, liberal or conservative, are just always straightforward and direct, and I never hear any shrillness coming out from you. And we have a lot to be shrill about, I think, as, you know, everything that's going on today shows. And so, therefore, earlier, when I was listening to the show, and Brad Friedman was on, and you said, well, something about let them steal the election, we'll steal it back. And I thought, oh, no, Tom, don't say that. And right after that, Brad corrected you and said, no, we're going to win it back. And, of course, you acknowledged that was so. But the reason I respect and admire that is because those are that's a good way to be, and that's what I want of the Democratic Party or any alternative party to the Republican.
Well, I think by and large, Bob, and thank you for the compliment, but and I would say that, you know, everybody has their own style, and my style has just never been to be shrill, and, you know, whether that works or not is something that comes out in the ratings. But the bottom line, I think, for the Democratic Party, to take this to a larger picture, is that the Democratic Party has to have a positive vision. And this is historically what the Republicans have criticized the Democrats about not having. And it's not that the Democrats haven't had a positive vision. It's that the Democrats haven't had a single soundbite vision. And they're pulling that together, actually, in large part. And the reason why they didn't have a single soundbite vision is because it was a large enough tent that you could have people like Joe Lieberman and Zell Miller on one side and people like Dennis Kucinich on the other. And now there's a series of core issues like national health care, like ending the war in Iraq, like increasing the minimum wage, like protecting our environment, that the Democratic Party is just clearly and unambiguously coming together around and standing up for and allowing for some disagreement in some areas like, you know, abortion and guns and things like that. But, Bob, thanks for the call and for your kind words, and thanks for listening to us there on KSAC. 27 minutes past the hour.
I've been working on vacation, chasing hares and moles.
Oh, it's George.
Cindy, she had notwithstanding, and I never read the polls. What's the point? I've made no mistakes I know of. That's just not like me. I subscribe to presidential infallibility. Intelligent design, the notion seems divine. Science must be wrong. The world's initial phase took place in 7 days. I knew it all along. I read the Bible.
And welcome back to Defending America from the Conservative Weapons of Mass Deception. Tom Hartman here with you, 34 minutes past the hour, 1-866-440-TOM, T-H-O-M, or 1-866-440-8466 is what it comes out to if you spell it on your phone. TomHartman.com if you want to drop into our live chat room. And, yeah, I hang out there during the show, by the way, and say hi to folks from time to time. Although sometimes things are just so busy that I have to just do it during the breaks. Ray in Seattle, Washington. Hey, Ray, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. You know
what?
You are great, and you do get better.
Well, thank you, Ray. What's on your mind?
Well, now that we've committed small sums of money to support candidates.
Yeah.
It's time to set up a legal defense fund so that disenfranchised voters with proof of their stolen or lost vote can afford to file a suit against their state.
I think this is going to be happening in a lot of places. Freepress.org, which is Bob Fitrakis and Harvey Wasserman's site, I am sure is going to be doing this kind of stuff. We had Paul Lato call into the program earlier from down in San Diego. He lives in Washington State. As you know, he's an election protection attorney, as it were, one of the great defenders of democracy in the United States. He's doing that kind of work. Over the next few days, we will be compiling websites of folks who are doing this kind of work and posting it on our message board and talking about it here on the radio. And we'll also try and get folks like that on as guests so that we can more widely publicize what they're doing.
Right. Well,
Alrighty.
those of us in states like you, you and I, where we vote at home, and we know our vote's pretty guaranteed. We just want to be able.
Yeah,
to
Washington and Oregon are pretty clean, but there's a real mess out there. Ray, thanks a lot for the call. Good to hear from you, Scott in San Diego, California. Hey, Scott, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, I like your show because I learned how to have a dialogue with people of different views, whether it's political or anything else, and you're a great role model for it.
Well, thank you. You're the third or fourth person to talk like this, Scott, and I don't recall having solicited why do you like my show calls. So, you know,
well, it's just,
I appreciate it, but you know, that's not what you called about.
Universe.
It.
It's just what happens in the universe.
Yeah,
anyway,
I
called about today was I grew up in a political family. My parents were precinct captains for the Republican Party when I grew up. They saw the error of their ways during Watergate, but we had voting at our house every 2 years. and they brought the stinking machines over at 4:30 in the morning. I remember that because when you're getting up at six, you know, you're 6 years old, and you're getting up early in the morning, whether you like it or not, you remember those things.
Sure.
So,
now, those machines, by the way, what's different from those old lever machines in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, for that matter?
You needed a dolly to haul them?
Well, not only did you need a dolly to haul them, but you could take the back panel off, and you could look at the little dials and you could and the little counters, and you could make sure that everything was at zero before you started. And when somebody pulled a lever, you could see that number increment one. And once they had pulled the lever, that was it. They could only pull the lever once. And you pull the giant lever after you do that, and it locks it all in. And it was completely transparent. There was no secret software. Those machines were bought by the local government offices. They, you know, maintenance might have been provided by the vendor, but it was like buying a typewriter from IBM. You buy the typewriter, and you own it. You know, they may come in and fix it from time to time, but there's nothing secret about it.
And but they were really big, Tom. I mean,
oh, I know, they were huge. Yeah, I've voted on them.
As a little kid, these things had this big lever sitting above your head.
Yep.
And he had to get up in the morning. So I don't understand the stuff of taking the machines home here in the California 50th. I don't get it. To me, it's nonsense. And tonight I wanted to say I will be broadcasting. I'll be KLSD's, that's AM 1360 here in San Diego. I'll be a roving reporter at Golden Hall tonight.
That's great. And Tom,
that's thanks to you and your call to get active. It's not as eloquent as Kennedy's inaugural address, but it's very effective.
Great. Well, thank you, Scott. And
thank you, Tom.
Good on you.
All right.
I appreciate it. And KLSD, the Air America station there in San Diego. That's great. 1-866-440-8466. Dawn, listening on WTKG in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hey, Dawn.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. What's up?
I've been listening to you for a long time, too, and so I decided to get active, and I volunteered to be a challenger/poll watcher today.
Oh, congratulations. What was your experience?
Well, actually, it was a pretty positive experience.
That's great.
There was only one person who had to fill out a provisional ballot.
Mm-hmm.
The bad thing about that was that the election inspectors did not have the proper form to go along with that provisional ballot, and I had to give it to them from the materials that had been supplied to me at training.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else went without a hitch, but the really good news is that by 1 o'clock when I left, there had been over 300 voters in the precinct where I was at. And in 2004, one of the election inspectors there told me that when she left at 2 o'clock in 2004, they had only had 150 voters.
Wow. So huge turnout there in Michigan.
Yeah. So they were already more than double.
That is great news, Dawn. And you know, if I may suggest my theory as to why you had so few provisional ballots necessary. My wife's father, when Louise and I were first dating, her dad was the assistant attorney general for the state of Michigan. In fact, he was prosecuting the Licavoli crime family, and I had to sneak past or run a gauntlet of state police staking out their house when we were dating as teenagers. And he was a Democrat, and the Attorney General, Frank Kelly, was a Democrat. And Democrats have had a lot of power in Michigan for a lot of years. You have a Democratic governor, Jennifer Granholm. You have a Democratic senator, Debbie Stabenow, Carl Levin. You've got a lot of good Democrats in that state. And so I would guess that Michigan has not experienced the massive voter purges that other states have, where people, particularly in areas where they might be inclined to vote Democratic, get thrown off the voter rolls. The voter disenfranchisement has not been as widespread in Michigan as it is in Ohio, which is contiguous with Michigan.
Well, actually, when I went to training, the trainer there did say that they did do a purge here in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he said that they sent out 1 million cards to people and got back about 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are, you know, possibly 200,000 people out there who've been thrown off the rolls, but that's not as many as Ohio.
Yeah. And in Ohio, what's odd about the Ohio purge is that they only did it in four parts of the state, which are the heavily Democratic parts of the state. A very, very selective purge. So anyhow, Dawn, great to hear from you. Thank you very much for calling and for listening. Indeed, on WTKG. Roy in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Hey, Roy, how's everything going there?
Hi, Tom. Actually, I'm out in Positas today, my hometown, working our precinct.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought I'd call in. The paper ballot system is working phenomenal.
Now, for our listeners who don't know about this, Roy, before you go any farther, Roy, you know, we got listeners all over the country who don't know what you're talking about when you talk about the paper ballot system in New Mexico. Give us a 1-minute summary of the history and the present.
Well, we had such a fiasco. They stole the
election
vote. I'm sorry, I'm getting flagged to get back in there. But anyway, we're over 50, and the systems work flawlessly out.
That's
here.
That's great. Okay, I'll fill people in on it after.
And let you know.
Yeah. Okay. You got to get back in. I'll fill people in. Thanks a lot, Roy. Roy is one of the folks who 3 years ago started listening to our program. In fact, Roy is in the last chapter of my new book, Screwed. The undeclared war against the middle class and what we can do about it. He's one of those folks who went out and got active in politics and is doing just a great job. Roy, years ago, was actually a Republican, and he saw the way the country was going and said, no, we're not going to stand for this. He's become very active in Democratic politics. And last year, 2 years ago, in the last election, 2004, in a lot of precincts, they didn't have enough voting machines, and so they used paper ballots, you know, the absentee ballots, and they were just randomly assigned to people. So you'd show up at the local high school to vote, and there'd be 1,000 people who showed up, and they could only process 500 of them on a machine. The other 500 got paper ballots. And oddly enough, and this happened in several precincts around the state of New Mexico, oddly enough, those people, now these are the same people, same neighborhood, same community, same line, right, going into the same high school to vote. Those people who voted on the machines overwhelmingly voted for George W. Bush, and those people who voted on paper overwhelmingly voted for John Kerry. Well, the news of this spread across New Mexico and so outraged the citizens of the state that that activists like Roy got very active, and they created a parade. Roy's the guy who came up with the phrase, start the parade, and the politicians will jump out in front of it and take credit for it. They started a parade of no more machines in New Mexico, only paper ballots. And so in New Mexico, it's only paper ballots now. They actually got it through, and they got Richardson, the governor, to reluctantly sign this thing. And so when Roy says, hey, it's working, that's what he's talking about. And isn't it a fine thing? 1-866-440-8466. Taylor in Fairfield, Connecticut. Hey, Taylor, what's up?
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm fine, but I'll get better. What's up?
Oh, boy, I knew that was coming. I've been working the polls today. And the turnout is absolutely fantastic in Connecticut, in Fairfield County, in the 4th District. But there has been an incredible amount, and I called the RNC on this specifically, the Republican Campaign Committee for Congress. And they've been doing robocalls that are faux Democrats.
Yeah, pretending to be Democratic calls. Yeah.
And at the end of the ad, they say this has not been sponsored by any national committee, even though in the beginning of the call they say they're from the Democratic National Committee. Very interesting.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's probably one of these 527s, one of these corporate calls.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I have seen some voter roll problems, and
right.
Just as a note, I know I hear the music.
Yeah.
CitizensUnited.org, go check out the most despicable ad ever. It's the top thing in the right-hand corner.
Great. I'll check it out, too, during the break here. CitizensUnited.org.
Yep. Take care.
Taylor, thanks a lot for the call from Connecticut there. Good to hear from you. 45 minutes past the hour of the Tom Hartman radio program. Viagra for your brain! Just don't tell Limbaugh. He'll want some.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those nads in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly real. Disorder from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay. Democracy is coming to the USA.
Ah, Leonard, from your lips to God's ears. Spoken like a good Canadian. Democracy is coming to the USA. Welcome back. 9 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. Ron in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening on WPTT. Hey,
hi.
Ron.
Hi, Tom. First-time caller. I listen to you every day. Even at work, I put my headset on, so I don't miss you.
Oh, well, thank you. That's great.
You were just speaking about democracy coming back to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, is this what we're trying to force on the Middle East, our democracy, cheating, stealing, backstabbing, lying? Is this what Bush calls giving democracy to the Middle East?
Yeah, we're not exactly the best example for the world.
No, we're not
right
a real
now,
good example. I just thought I'd bring that point up to you. Also, as an afterthought, you had a guest on with God on your side.
to the group, but I don't know if you remember from the 80s, called the Outfield from England. They have a album out called Anytime Now. And he beat him to it. He has in one of his songs with God on Your Side and Blood on Your Hands in one of his two songs pieces.
Ouch.
Anytime. You'd enjoy it. You'd enjoy. He's a great writer.
Yeah.
But it's disheartening to see what goes on, and we try to be the guys with the white hats and try to get people look at us and stand back.
I know. I agree with you, Ron, and well said. And thank you for calling and for listening there. And it also raises the larger point that you can't inflict or impose democracy. I would say inflict. You can't impose, well, inflicting if you're using a barrel of a gun, impose democracy on a country that's not ready for it. You have to have an economically functional middle class in order to have a working democracy. It's that simple. And what we did was we, after 8-9 years of sanctions, we destroyed the Iraqi middle class, and then we went in and we broke up their country and further destroyed their middle class. Over 1 million people, mostly the middle class, have fled Iraq. And, you know, it's we're seeing the same thing in Gaza. We're seeing the same, I mean, all over the world where you try to impose democracy. If there's not a functional economic middle class, you can't have a functional democracy. And that's one of the reasons, frankly, why the ideological conservatives are trying to destroy the middle class in the United States, because it disempowers people. You, when you don't have a functional middle class, you have a country that's gullible, that's vulnerable, that's susceptible to demagoguery. To strong leaders, we will protect you. Don't worry. And it's a tragedy. Karen in Sacramento, California, KSAC. Hey, Karen.
And Tom, I was just saying you're so inspirational. I know some other people have been calling in and saying what an inspiration you are. And I read your book and I read the story about Roy.
Yeah.
And we have a really great constitutional lawyer running in my district here in Sacramento. And so I, even though I work 60, 70 hours a week, I just called him and I said, is there something stupid I can do that would help?
Uh-huh.
And he had these door hangers. So on my morning walk, I put out 500 door hangers. And on my evening walk, I put out another 500. And
oh, that's so good of you.
Helps me sleep at night.
Yeah, well, not only that, it's good exercise.
It's wonderful exercise going up and down those stairs.
You'll live longer.
Yes.
Good on you, Karen.
Congress.
Well, thanks a lot for the heads up on that. Thanks for calling, and thanks for getting active and helping save democracy here in the United States.
All right.
Great to hear from you. David in Deerfield, Massachusetts, WHMP, as I recall. David, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Because you're talking about, you know, how critical the election is to democracy, which I completely agree with, I'm wondering why don't we have Election Day, either one, as a national holiday, two, have it over a weekend, or three, which I think is my best idea, have it on Veterans Day, which is coming up this Saturday.
Right.
But it's a day that everyone has off. Give everyone the entire day to vote.
Well, the reason we can't make it Veterans Day is because it would require amending the Constitution. The Constitution specifies that the first Tuesday after the first week of November is the day that the election happens. And you don't want to get into amending the Constitution. It's more than you can handle. It's more than we could do. But what we could do, what the legislature could pass, is to make the Election Day a national holiday. That could easily be done. Doesn't require amending the Constitution. It just requires a House and Senate who are motivated to do it. And by maybe if enough of us harass them loudly enough and said Election Day should be a national holiday, it could happen. It's a campaign that's certainly worth starting up. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, the reality is most people work today. They get 2 or 3 hours to vote. And if there's any problems at the polls, a lot of them don't vote.
That's right. They can't show up. This is a system right now that is gamed to work in favor of those people who are in there living passively, you know, by sitting on their butt around the pool waiting for the dividend check to arrive, and against people who work for a living, who have to, particularly people who work for a living in a way that if they take time off, they get in trouble or they lose part of their paycheck. David, thanks for the call. Nancy in Novato, California. We have just a minute before we have to wrap the show up. Nancy, what's on your mind?
Okay, hi, and it's Naomi from Novato.
Naomi, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's important, I think, to hold the mainstream media accountable as well. This morning, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Pacific time, Tucker Carlson and Joe Scarborough on MSNBC were laughing and making fun of voter intimidation. Scarborough said, voter intimidation is a yawn. It doesn't happen. So
I'll say, this is Joe Scarborough. This is the guy who was the congressman from, as I recall, Florida,
right,
who left Congress after a dead page was, or a dead intern was found in his office, right?
Right, and so this is a mainstream media. His email is joe@msnbc.com. I would hope other people would email him to tell him that voter intimidation is not a yawn and this is not what democracy is about. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you, Naomi. And Tucker Carlson, whose dad was the president of PBS for a while. It's interesting where all this stuff is coming from. Anyhow, thanks so much for being with us today. Don't miss our post-election day coverage 2006 tomorrow. Guests and voting experts Mark Crispin, Miller, Brad Friedman, Stephen Rosenfeld, Jeffrey Feldman, and more. And don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Activism begins with you. But today in particular, of all days, democracy begins with you. Get out there, get active, vote, and get 10 friends to vote too. Tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.